fourth gospel. It's one of the favorites of many people, and we started this journey last week, and we're going to be continuing it for a while. People talk about the book of John and how it led to either their salvation or either how to live for Him, and so we will be looking at John for I don't know how long, don't get depressed, but it's one of the most beautiful books that is written. And we began it last week in John chapter 1. And last week we talked about the Word, and I'll explain it in a minute. But this morning I want to talk to you about the choice. Everybody in this room has many, many, many choices, okay? I can remember dating Julie Ashburn. I was older. She was older. She was a senior in college. And for 4 months, we had been dating. And at that point, we were both supposed to be going off to seminary. And seminary is a master and above education facility where it's primarily made up of men, okay? Now, and I know you may not agree with me on this, but my wife is the most beautiful person on the outside and the inside that I've ever met. I've been madly in love with her since that first time we met. Well, we have been dating 4 months, and of course we're older, we're not playing games, and I was like, man, I got to do something. She's going to go to seminary. I'm in seminary. But those guys are going to be like vultures. I'm going to have to get a bat and beat them off because they will try to rob her from me. I'm serious. I'm like, and she's beautiful. She's spiritual. See, I'm a little shallow. I like the beauty and the spiritual. But so after 4 months of dating, and I don't recommend that for everybody. We were older. I popped the question. I decided I'm all in. I don't want to be boyfriend, girlfriend anymore. Now, one of the things I don't understand people today is, there she is. She walks back in. Talking about how beautiful you are. Not sure what that look meant. But I don't understand people today. I didn't want to be her boyfriend forever, and I don't think she wanted to be my girlfriend forever. So it came down to this. There was a choice that I had to make. And that choice was I had to put it all on the line. We had been to see the movie Cocoon, is that correct? Remember that movie, Cocoon? We had had a meal that... Where? Taco Bell. Well, you didn't have to, yeah, but you wanted Taco Bell, right? Oh, okay. Well, anyway, don't bring up bad things, okay? So anyway, we'd been to Taco Bell, which that, it's a miracle she said yes after that. But then we went to Cocoon, and we're driving back to Chilton, Texas, going through the cattle country. And I thought, man, I'm all in. I love her. I think she likes me. I'm never, you know, totally confident of anything. But I think she'll say yes. But there comes down to the point where you've got to say, I'm either going to be all in or all out. So I got the guts up and in the back country driving her home. Will you marry me? Now, and of course, well, I shouldn't say it that way. She said yes. And I was very, very, very glad. But I wasn't prepared for all the all-in questions she said. She says, well, when? And when are you going to give me a ring? So, guys, I did it totally wrong. I asked her to marry me. I didn't have a ring. I didn't have a clue about a ring. I mean, I was, you know, and I didn't know how I was going to pay for it. So I had a part-time job. But I knew one thing. I was all in. And I knew I loved her. And it took a decision. It took a decision that I had to make to say, I'm all in. Here's all the bill. She had to make a decision to say she's all in, and she did. And that was the beginning of our family. And it had to be something we both committed to. Now, I say all this because every single one of us in this room has a decision that we need to make about what we're going to do with Jesus. You just don't date Jesus. Okay? A lot of people do. They date Jesus. They go to church. They sing, "Oh, I'm a believer." But there is absolutely no all in. And salvation is more than just saying a little prayer, getting dunked, and being on a roll somewhere. It is a relationship with the King of Kings. It is a relationship with a God who loves you. But for it to be yours, you have to receive it. Now, we're in the book of John, and I said all that to begin to go through this book, because the book of John has a purpose. The book is written for this purpose. In John 20, verse 30 and 31, here's the purpose. John, the disciple who Jesus loved, part of that inner circle, said this: "The disciples saw Jesus do many other miraculous signs in addition to the ones recorded in this book." But then listen to what he says. "But these are written," the book of John is written so that, there's a purpose, it's written for a purpose, "so that you may continue to believe." The word "believe" is all over the book of John. And it's more than just believing in your head. It's believing with your heart. It's believing with your whole being. He says, "Continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God." And then he says it again, "that by believing Him, in Him, you will have life." Zoe, remember I said it last week. If I had to have a tattoo, which I don't, it would be the word Zoe, because it's spiritual life. When you make a decision to have Christ, you get life. And not only do you get life, you get light. You can literally see the world the way God wants you to see. And so the book of John is written with that in mind. It is written that you might believe, that you might live for Him, that you might be all in. And you have a choice. Now, here's the problem. Everybody thinks just because they're born in America, or they grew up in church, or their parents are Christians, they think, or I said a little prayer when I was three, and I've been baptized. Sometimes we think that's all in. But sometimes it's just a ritual that we did not understand. That's why with these kids, I try to be so careful, because I want them to understand how much God loves them and that He wants a relationship with them. You have a choice. Just like I had a choice, I could keep dating Julie. I didn't want to date her anymore. I wanted to marry her, so I had to commit. And she had to commit as well. And that is what John is going to try to be teaching us through the whole book of John. I'm going to read beginning in verse 1, and I'll comment, because I want you to remember it's written as a whole. It says, "In the beginning, the Word already existed." Now, I said last week that the Jewish people, one of the names they had for God was the Word, Logos. And they knew that God spoke the world into existence. And they just, when they said the Word, it was another way of saying God. But also, in addition to the Jews, the Greeks also believed in the Word. It was a God that was up there that created the universe, that gave order to the world. And the Greeks, the non-Jewish people, believed in the Logos. Now, they believed He was impersonal. They believed He just kept things going, but it wasn't a relationship. So, in verse 1 it says, "In the beginning the Word already existed." And John's going to tell them who this word is. He's going to say to the Jews, and he's going to say to the Greeks, this word is Jesus. Look at verse 14. So the word became a human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So what John is saying is, you Jewish people, you need to understand the Word is a person named Jesus. And to the pagan Gentiles who believed in the Logos, he says, you need to know that that Logos, that Word, is a person. His name is Jesus. What John is saying is that Jesus became a human. And he became a human so we could know God. Look what he says. God created everything through him, and nothing was created through him. I said last week, please understand, please remember that Jesus did not begin at the manger. That's not when Jesus started. Jesus has always been Jesus. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's always been. He was there at creation. And he said the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light. When you start to believe and you're all in with Jesus, the lights come on. You start to see the world as it really is. You start to understand God. You start to understand sin. Why? Because you can see. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The life of Jesus Christ brings light to the world. It says the light shines in the darkness. Christ shines into a dark world. Now, today, as we'll see in just a second, the way God shines in a dark world today is through you. You're not the light, but because you believe in him, you're a reflection of the light. The way you get hey, people, come on, let's get real. The way we improve our community is to turn the light on. Not to build more parks. I'm all for that. I'm all for beautifying our community. But if you want to beautify your community, you need to turn the light on, which is Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is the light. And so he says, the light shines in the darkness. And I love this. The darkness can never extinguish it. The darkness can never overcome it. The darkness can never comprehend it or take it as its own. So that's what we talked about last week. But then you get to today, verse 6, and he changes things completely. Remember, John is writing this to try to tell you who Jesus is. And so he shifts gears in verse 6 and he says, God sent a man. Now, notice the comparison. Verses 1 through 5, John says, the man has always existed. Jesus was born, but he's always existed. In verse 6, he says, God sent a man. In other words, John the Baptist came into being. He had a beginning. Jesus has no beginning. Why? Because he's always been. He's God. God in the flesh. God sent a man, John the Baptist, and here's why he came. To tell about the light. You see, John the Baptist, God had not spoken to the people of Israel for 400 years until the prophet John the Baptist came into the world, and he came into the world with one purpose, and that was to tell the world about the coming of the Messiah. The Messiah was coming into the world to save it and to give light to it. To tell about the light. So that, whenever you see so that in your Bible, it's a Greek construction that says, hey, this is the purpose. God sent John the Baptist for this purpose. So that everyone, and I love that about John because it's for everyone. So that everyone might believe because of his testimony. The whole reason John the Baptist came was to tell people about the coming of the Messiah, God in the flesh. John himself was not the light. Now, the interesting thing, the reason John the Apostle wrote that is because after Jesus' death, there was a group that continued to kind of worship John the Baptist and thought he was the light. John says, listen, John the Baptist was not the light. There's only one light for the church. It's Jesus. Any other light is a false light or a reflection of him. The only light is Jesus. And it says he was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. You see, John the Baptist was preparing the world for the coming of light and life in the person of Jesus. You know, we've made as the church the Christian life too difficult. We've made it religious instead of about Jesus. The light is Jesus. And then look at this, kind of some of the saddest words in Scripture. It says, he came into the very world he created. Remember, Jesus created the world. He was there at creation, creating the world. It says, he came into the world he created, but the world did not recognize him. That's kind of a sad thing. God created all this, but the world did not recognize. And look what it says. He came to his own people. Literally, he came to his own house, the Jewish people. He came to his own people. Even they rejected him. They said no. But to all who believed. I love verse 12. That's the key right there. If you want to circle verse 12, that's the key that John's wanting. He says, but not everyone rejected him. Not everyone didn't not recognize him. It says, but to all believed in him. Now that word believe is very important to understand. It doesn't mean intellectual understanding. It includes that, but it's not limited. To believe means to take hold of, to receive. You see, salvation is just not knowing that Jesus lived. It's saying, I want him. I could believe that Julia is my wife, but until I received her into my life, committed my life to her, she's just a thought. And Jesus is saying not everybody, or John is saying not everybody rejected Jesus. Not everybody refused him or didn't recognize him. He says in verse 12, there are some who believed him and accepted him. That's so important. That decision you have to make. He gave the right to become the children of God. You see, the way you become one of God's kids is by receiving him, making him a part of your life, and then you become part of the family. What I love about our church is its family. I could care less that we're Baptist. I am a Baptist. Don't throw stones. Been Baptist all my life. I could care less, though, that we're Baptist. What I care about is we believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, because that makes you family. What I want in the church is not members, I want family. That is just so important. It's so biblical. But we make it churchy. You attend church. No, you are the church if you're a believer. We all are the church. And he says in there, he came to his own people, even they were, but to all who believed and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. And then look at verse 13. They are reborn, but not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Here's the beautiful picture of salvation. When you receive him, when you believe in him, you become part of his family. It's a spiritual birth. You have a physical birth, but you also have a spiritual birth that only comes because you believe in Jesus, the Son of God.
That's why it doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your family was like. The moment you become a part of the family of God, you've got a whole new family. And that is good news. That is positive news. I tell these teenagers all the time, I love you like you're one of my own kids. I got one of my own kids up here. But these kids, these children, these teenagers and adults, I care like you're my own. Because that's the way it's supposed to be. It's family. You may have had a cruddy family. You might have got rejected. You might have had. But the moment you place your faith in Jesus Christ, guess what? You got two families. One's spiritual, one's physical. And two are better than one. But it takes a decision. It takes a choice. He goes on to say, so the Word became human and made His home among us. And I love this next part. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Listen, He's the only one who doesn't run out of love. And He's the only one who won't let you down. Even when you let Him down, He's got enough love for you. He's always going to be faithful to you. And then it says, John testified about Him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for He existed long before me. Now, that's interesting that John wrote that. He's talking about John the Baptist. He says, yeah, He existed long before me. Who was born first? John the Baptist or Jesus? John the Baptist. But John the Baptist knew that Jesus had always been. Because He's the eternal Son of God. He says, verse 16 I just love, says, from His abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. And the way your translation might read, and I love it better, is grace upon grace. Here's the deal about your new family, your new faith, your relationship. The part that no religion can't give you. Listen, Jesus says, I've got grace after grace after grace for you. He doesn't run out. You mess up. How many of you messed up? Let's just be honest. How many messed up? Big. Go ahead. Guess what? He's got more grace for you. Do you deserve it? Absolutely not. But does He have plenty? Yes. Grace upon grace, unfailing love. You see, when you enter into this relationship with Christ, you get all the grace that a person can have. And it never runs out. You mess up, you screw up, certainly. But He's got grace to help you. I find people need it. I need it. Because I've screwed up so many times in my life. But my faith in Him offers grace after grace, love after love. It never runs out. Then He says, no one has ever seen God but the unique one who is Himself God, is near to the Father's house. He has revealed God to us. So when you look at Jesus, people say, I want to know what God looks like. Well, God the Father, you can see in Jesus the Son. They're the same. You couldn't understand God if you wanted to because you're what? Human. You want to understand God, look at Jesus. Look at His love. Look at the way He treated people. That's God. Grace upon grace, unfailing love. So let me just wrap it up with some, what does all this mean? Well, it means this. First of all, you have to ask the question, why does someone not want that? Well, in Matthew chapter 3, because I struggle, why would someone not want grace? Why would someone reject the light? Why would someone not want that blessing that God has for them? And the only thing I can figure out is John 3 John 3, verse 19. It's one thing I can figure out, why people don't want Jesus. In verse 19, it says this, "And the judgment is based on this fact." Here's the wording, because remember, he wrote all this book. "God's light came into the world." Who is the light? It's Jesus. "God's light came into the world, but people loved darkness more than the light." See, here's the interesting thing. You can't have light and darkness together. Light gets rid of darkness the moment you turn it on, right? And it just takes a little bit of light to get rid of a whole lot of darkness. And it says, "God's light came into the world, but people love darkness more than light, for their actions were" what? "Evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near it, for the fear their sins will be exposed. But those who do what is right come to the light, so others can see that they are doing what God wants." Here's the thing. The reason many times people do not want Jesus, they don't want the light, they don't want the King, is because they love their sin. And whenever it ruins it for you, if you're a believer in Christ, at least I know from my perspective, whenever I sin, it bothers me. It's like the light comes, you know. If your sin doesn't bother you, you probably don't have the light. People ask me, "What's a sure sign that I'm saved?" Well, you feel bad about your sin. And I don't even, you know, I don't do an invitation at the end, because it'd be really, as a preacher, I could say, "Well, somebody last night got drunk. Somebody got last night was mean." I could do that. It hits. I mean, you know, I'm hitting everybody at once, you know, with one slug. I mean, but here's the deal. Once you commit yourself to Him and you try to do wrong, a little light comes on. I can't do that. I really think people don't want to quit. And I'm here to tell you, it's just better to know Him. I've been on the other side. I know I look so spiritual to y'all, but I've been there. It's not any fun compared to what I'm having more fun now being a believer than I ever had doing all the sin stuff. And I think a lot of people think of Christians as boring. Just come watch us play pickleball. We're not boring. Some people struggle. I've got it under complete control. Lucian may not. But Jesus wants to give you light and life. Zoe, life that has meaning and purpose, and baby, I love it. So the takeaways is God chose John the Baptist to tell others about the light that is coming. He chooses you to tell Mount Ida about the light. Get the connection? You need to reflect the light of Jesus Christ in your life to a dark Mount Ida. And you do that by living, not by going to church. Listen, everybody can be good for an hour. I don't know. I'm not sure about that, Matt. I look over at Matt and I think, can he do it for an hour? I don't know. It's iffy. But we need to understand, hey, the reason we do Vacation Bible School for Kids is because we want to give them light. The reason we send kids to camp, teenagers and children, we've got 40. The reason we do that is we want them to be exposed to the light. Because, you know, every one of them have to make a decision on their own about what to do with it. The reason we do Wednesday nights during the school year is we try to turn on the light. Because that's the only hope they have. Sunday morning, same deal. We try to be light to a dark world. And we need to understand, God doesn't do that through angels. He does it through believers. We simply reflect the light. And when we are light and reflect the light, we get rid of darkness. How do you get rid of darkness? One person at a time. Now, the second thing, we're to take the light, but the second thing is this, and I don't know. I just want to be sure I'm real clear on this. There has to come a point when you commit. Julie and I are not, well, we're still dating, but we're dating as married couples. There came a point where I had to commit and she had to commit to form a relationship called marriage. And we had a big wedding where we told everybody about what we talked about in private. Okay, here's what I want you to get. And as I look down at my fingernail that's painted, my pink fingernail, there comes a point where you have to commit. Just saying a prayer is not a commitment. Getting baptized is not a commitment. Giving your life to Him is. It's a relationship. And see, that's the cool thing. Jesus wants a relationship. He didn't want you just saying a prayer and living the same way. It's a relationship. It's a relationship. And it's a good relationship. But as many as received Him. And so here's the way it is. This morning I'm sitting here going, He loved you. He died for you. I'm offering Him to you. What will you do with it? Will you love your sin and just ignore it? Or will you say a prayer and say, oh, I'm a believer, but nothing changes? No, you either commit, you're either all in, or you're not in. He doesn't kind of save. He either saves or He doesn't. It all comes down to being all in. So you do that, and then once you do that, then you get baptized. It's like a wedding. You say, hey, I love this person. We want you to know about it. And it's not something that kids just do. It's adults, teenagers. Anybody that comes for the first time, you get married to Jesus, basically. And you have a baptism. But you got to make the decision. If you're a parent, your kids need to know that you made a decision for Jesus. He's not something you do periodically. He's your life. He's your light. And then the last thing is this. He's full of grace. He's full of grace. You said, Bill, I've let Him down a lot. He's full of grace. You know, the Bible in Proverbs says, a righteous man falls down 7 times, but you know what he does? He gets right back up. You're going to fall down. The question is, will you get back up? The righteous man gets up. Grace upon... Who would not want grace upon grace? Who would not want unfailing love? Boy, I need it. And it's through a person named Jesus. And when you get that, when you put your faith in Him, the light comes on. You start having to say, should I do that or should I not do it? Then as you read the scripture, you go, no, I should not do it because I love Him. I just find there's a lot of confused people in the world about what it means to know Him. And you know, it's so hard because when these kids, I know a lot of times these kids go to camp and one of the reasons we send them to camp is for a week they don't have their phone, for a week they don't have TV, and they have to hear, they have to see, they have to be confronted with this man named Jesus all week long. And many times they make a decision, but then they come back to a world where there's not that, and it's hard. You need the grace part. Parents get, you know, after your kid makes a decision to follow Christ, that doesn't mean they're not going to mess up. It means they're going to mess up and have grace when they mess up. And it's your job as a parent to teach them how to live when they mess up. Grace upon grace. So, you have a choice. Now, here's the way we do it at our church. After I pray in just a second, make a few announcements and all that, you have a choice. Maybe you're confused about what it means to follow Christ. We don't want to have you come down in front and make some decision you can't think through or feel weird or anything like that. No, I'll be over here. You can come talk to me. If you want to join our church, you want to know how to do that, I'll be over here. We built this little area over here, this foyer, where I can talk to people. I'm deaf anyway, and if I'm down here and they're playing music and you're walking down the front, I can't hear a word you say. But maybe you need to join the church. I have to explain that. We just don't want people on a piece of paper. And I'm here to tell you, you want to have fun in life? Get Zoe. That's God life. So that's what we'll do. If you need to talk, if you need to pray, I'll be right over here in the foyer. Come on your way to go eat and raise money for kids. Camp. We're going to have lunch. There's a lot of stuff. There's a group of people, pretty good sized group of people, who are downstairs preparing hamburgers, nachos. Unfortunately, it's not the healthy meal selection, but it's to help our kids go to camp, youth and children. So we encourage everyone to come to that. If you're a guest, we want you to come to that if you want to. Then after that, they will have pickleball. You don't have to come to that unless you want to. But it's a lot of fun to watch us out there. You might be surprised. I don't know what that means, but anyway. You have a choice. Listen, to get rid of the darkness in our community, I need all of you to be the light and to work and to serve. The only way you get rid of darkness is with light. You're the light. So, anyway, let's pray. Father, I come to you and I thank you for every single person in this world. I thank you for John. He knew you intimately. He was in the inner circle. He watched you sweat blood as you looked at the cross. Father, I thank you for his words of wisdom. May we not be a normal church. Help us to be abnormal for you. Help us to shine light. Help us to be light. Help us to encourage each other. Help us to be the church, not go to church. And Father, we thank you for this opportunity today to eat in just a few moments. And I'm blessing the food now, Lord. But we thank you for the people who are sacrificing their time on Saturday and Sunday to prepare a meal because they love kids. What an awesome thing. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for our community. We just ask your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Do I have any announcements? I can't even remember. Do we have any up there? No, that's telling me it's time to go. Men, we do meet tomorrow night.